Okay, so I want to learn a fascinating limud on Parsha Shmos. And with this limud, we'll get a tremendous glimpse into how Midrashim work and how Chazal come to conclusions and understandings of Chumash that sometimes could seem hard to derive and discern from the text of the Chumash itself. But with a closer eye and with the help of some of the Achronim, we can get a deeper understanding to how Midrashim work. And this is a sugya of Moshe Rabbeinu and his return to Mitzrayim when Hashem calls upon him to come back after Hashem calls upon him at the burning bush, when he says it's time to go back. But we'll just rewind a little bit. We'll just rewind a little bit. From when Moshe grows up and becomes an adult, and the Torah records back in Perek Beis that Moshe grows up, and the first thing he sees was Vayar Ish Mitzri Makeh Ish Ivri Me'achav. That this is not in the sheet. I apologize. That an Egyptian man strikes a Jewish man, one of his brothers, one of Moshe's brothers, and this tremendously disturbs and angers Moshe Rabbeinu, as we've learned. And Vayifen Kovacho, and Moshe Rabbeinu looked this way and that way. And Rashi brings a Chazal, who teach us that really Moshe looked, is there any future in this person? Does this person have anybody that's going to come from him? And he saw nothing, Vayarki Einish, there's no good, there's no person that will come out of this Egyptian. Vayachas HaMitzri, and he struck him. Vayetmineu B'chol, and he hit him in the sand. And the next day, one day later, he goes out. There are two Jewish men fighting, quarreling, arguing. And Moshe Rabbeinu again gets involved in this fight. And he says, what are you doing? What are you fighting for? Important halachos that are learned over here. He hadn't hit him yet, but he was about to hit him. And they respond to him, who made you boss? Who said you're in charge? Misam chalish sar b'shofit aleinu la'argena ta'omer kasher haragdas ha-mitzri. Who put you in charge? What, are you going to kill us though you killed the Egyptian? And Moshe Rabbeinu was immediately shocked, was immediately surprised. Achei noda adavar oyvei. The secret's out. People know that I killed the Egyptian yesterday. And the Torah continues, Vayishma paro es adavar. Paro heard everything that had happened. Vayevakesh laharog, as Moshe, Paro wanted to kill Moshe. And for that reason, what does Moshe Rabbeinu do next? Vayivrach Moshe mibne Paro, he goes on the run, so that, literally running for his life, and he goes to Midian, and we know what happens while Moshe Rabbeinu's at Midian. Fast forward, Moshe Rabbeinu has met Zipporah, he's had children, he's had his revelation of God at the burning bush. He's appointed to be the redeemer of the Jewish people. He rejects the offer, but then he ends up having no choice. God tells him, you're the man. Moshe says, how am I going to do it? God says, I'm going to give you signs. I'm going to give you Aaron. He's going to speak on your behalf. And the Torah says, now on the sheet, finally the time came. Vayomer Hashem el Moshe, and God said to Moshe, in Perek Dalet, Pasuk Yates, Hashem says to Moshe, Lech Shuv Mitzrayim, it's time to go back. It's time to go back to Mitzrayim. Why? Ki mesu kol anashim hamivakshim es nafshecha. For all of the people who want to kill you have died. As we just learned a second ago, who does that seem to... Who does that seem to apply to? Who does that seem to be referring to? All the people that want to kill you have died. Who wanted to kill him? Paro. We just had him a foolish person. Paro wanted to kill him. And therefore, it seems that Paro had died. And that's why if you look at Ibn Ezra, the first of the Mefarshim on the sheet, on that Pasuk, Dal Yutes, says the Ben Ezra, based on the principle of a muktam amuchar batorah, Says the Ibn Ezra, who's this referring to? It's referring to Paro, even though chronologically it's out of order. He brought the flock back to Yisro, and Hashem told him, it's okay, you can go back to Mitzrayim, because Paro has died. And Paro died, and there's no reason to be scared of Paro. The Rashbam also, who's also Ibn Ezra and the Rashbam, who are renowned in their commentaries on Chumash for explaining the pshat of the text, right? Sometimes even, as we'll see right now, against Chazal, but very dedicated to the kedushas pshat, the sanctity of the words of the text themselves, and explaining and understanding, interpreting the text of Chumash based on the text itself. Says the Rashbam, we know that Moshe Rabbeinu was in Midian because he was escaping from Paro, like we just learned. He was running from Paro because Paro wanted to kill him. Now finally Hashem told him, you can go back because the same Paro that wanted to kill you, he's dead. As was said earlier, that we know that the Melech Mitzrayim died, right? What the Ibn Ezra was saying before Derech Agav was that the death of Paro is recorded way back. Right? Back at the end of Perek Beis, 2 Prakim ago. In any case, both Ibn Ezra and the Rashbam make a very, very good pashut shot in the Chumash. It must be that Paro died, because after all, he's the one that the Torah said wanted to kill him. And now, the guy who wanted to kill him is dead, so he can safely go back to Mitzrayim. Nothing fancy, nothing exciting, beautiful pashut shot in Chumash. What's the problem? The problem is, that's not how Chazal understood the Pasuk, and that's not the Medrash that Rashi brings down in the Pasuk. Says Rashi, based on Chazal, based on a Gemara, Kimesu Kol HaAnashim, all of the people that wanted to, by the way, there's one already shad question on the Rashbam and Ibn Ezra, you already got it, it's plural. All of the people that wanted to die, to kill you. So the Rashbam actually answered that question, kind of, because he said, Paro v'amalshinim, meaning Paro and the ones who spoke badly about you. So I mean, it's a group effort type situation. But still, based on Ibn Ezra, and based on the simple understanding of the Rashbam, that question, the plural lashon, is a little bit difficult. All the people that wanted to kill you. What is it? Just one guy. The Torah just said Paro. The Torah never said Paro and. So the Paro wanted to kill you. Okay.
One of these words might be extraneous.
Which?
Kol ha'anashim. They were just said.
All of the people that want to kill you, that want your soul.
Kimesu ha'anashim about you.
All of them, right? Okay, fine. Right, what? Right. Kol is the lashon riboy. Okay. Okay. All of them. Interesting. Maybe we'll make sense of that. Comes Rashi from Chazal and says, no, it's not referring to Paro. Which is strange, because the Torah said already, Paro was the one that wanted to kill him. Says Rashi, Mihem, Dasan v'aviram. Dasan v'aviram, this Rashi on there, in the Pasuk, 419, Dal Yotes. Dasan v'aviram. Anybody know Dasan v'aviram? Anybody recognize those names from Chumash? Where do they appear? When do they appear?
By the Mon.
Excellent. What do they do by the Mon? By Korach. Ah, fantastic, Joey. Yeah, good. Dasan and Vaviram basically are going to be the troublemakers for the duration of Chumash. The duration of the time that Klal Yisrael are going to be in the desert. They're going to join Korach. They're going to try to outsmart God when God gives us a double portion of Mon on Friday. They're going to be troublemakers, as we'll see a few more times. Says Rashi, they're the ones that died. But then says Rashi, oh, by the way, when the Torah said they died, really, v'chayim hayu. Really, they're actually still alive. Ella sheyardu minichseihem. They lost all their money. V'ha'ani chashuv kemes. And Chazal have a principle about a few different types of people that when a person goes into poverty, that is akin to death. That is an experience as if that somehow is comparable to death on some level. Going from wealth to poverty, going from having to not having, going into poverty, becoming poor, becoming without any possessions, is considered as if dying. By the way, where do we see this principle already in Chumash?
By Yaakov,
and excellent. Excellent, Eliphaz, right? Esav wanted to kill Yaakov at the end of Parshas Toldos, and Yaakov goes on the run, and Eliphaz actually catches up to him, and Yaakov was able to sweet talk him. Eliphaz is about to kill him, and Yaakov says, "Why? How can you do that? Well, my father told me how to do it." So Yaakov was able to sweet talk Eliphaz, and Yaakov said, "I'll give you a chab." What did he say? "Take all my possessions, and I'll be impoverished. And once I'm impoverished, it's as if you've killed me." And ani is chashuv kemes. A poor person is considered died. And that way, you're not going to kill me, I'll be okay. And you fulfill your father's command. What's the source of this principle? So it's a Gemara in the Nedarim. The Gemara in the Nedarim says, Amar Rabbi Shimon ben Levi kol adam shein lo banim chashuv kemes. A person who doesn't have any children, it's as if he's not alive. Like the pasuk says, Havali banim ve'im ayin meisa anochi. Who said that? Excellent. Joey, fantastic. Holding. Rachel, Leah had already children, and Rachel was barren, she wasn't able to have children, and she says, Yaakov, bring me a child, and if I don't have a child, it's as if I'm dead. And from here, Chazal learned out, a person who doesn't have children, it's as if they don't have life. B'tanya arba chashuvim meis. There's four people that have this paradigm, that their life is in existence with such pain and such trauma and such difficulty, it's as if they're not even alive. Ani, a poor person. Mitzora, a person with leprosy. Suma, a blind person. Mishein Lobanim, a person who doesn't have children. And it brings rayos for each one. Our limud now is going to be focused on one of my favorite svarim in the entire world, called the Torah Tamima. The Torah Tamima is a perish on Chumash, but it's not just a perish on Chumash. It does two things. Torah Tamima is written by Rav Baruch Halevi Epstein, who was the nephew of the Netziv. His work on Chumash is unbelievable. Because what did he do? He did two things. Number one, he takes every single Gemara in which a pasuk is brought down, and he'll bring that. That's the top part of his Peirush. Every pasuk that is quoted, right? We're all familiar with the Ein Mishpat, we're all familiar with the Torah Ora on the side of a Gemara. When it brings a pasuk, it quotes on the side, either just at the source, or the fancy Gemaras on the side will give you the whole pasuk, right? So the Torah Tamima took every single pasuk in Chumash and brought the Chazal that's quoted, that quotes that pasuk. Why? Because Torah Shebaal Peh, the oral Torah, is our way that we are meant to understand the Torah Shebaksav, the written Torah. And all the drushes of Chazal, whether they're halachic drushes, or they're agadic drushes, or midrashim, or stories, or lessons, or teachings, or dinim, whatever they are, that's meant to be our lens of understanding the written Torah. But then the Torah Tamima has what's even more special, meaning that's special enough. But then he has his Peirush. And what does he do in his Peirush? What he often does in his Peirush is he explains the mechanics of how Chazal came to understand the Pasuk the way they did. What is the way in which... Now, sometimes it's simple. You know, sometimes it's not rocket science to understand what Chazal were deriving from a Pasuk. But sometimes it's a little head-scratching. Like, for example, if you have a situation where the Torah says, Paro wanted to kill Moshe. And then it said the guy who wanted to kill Moshe died. And then Chazal come along and say, Dustin Bandiram died. That's a head scratcher. Why not just say the pshat like the Ibn Ezra and the Rashbam that it was Paro died? Chazal now have to do this acrobatics to come and say, no, it was really Dustin Bandiram died. The Torah Tamima, and this is Ga'inus, we'll see right now, will break down the mechanics, break down the logic and the background and the underlying motives for why Chazal made the drasha that they did. Yeah, does that make sense? So let's learn the Perush of the Torah Tamima on this Pasuk and this Gemara of Dasan Maviram being the ones that died. This Gemara over here in Nedarim. My Mesu. Ilema Mesu Mamish. This is the Gemara in Nedarim. What does it mean they died? Maybe it means they really died. Hanami Mesu. Amar Yochanan Mishum Rabishim Bayochai. Kumakam Shinar Nitzim Nitzavim. Einam Ela Dasan Vaviram. Ela Sheyardu Minichseihem Vaanius Kemisa. There is a phrase. There is a word. There is a concept that appears throughout Chumash of quarreling. Quarreling, people quarreling, and the word that's used, or the type of word that's used, is nitzim. Nitzim, it means quarreling, it means to fight with one another. That's the word that we saw in Parag Beis, of these two Jewish, the two Jewish men who are fighting with one another, they were nitzim, they were fighting with one another, and Moshe Rabbeinu got in the middle of them. That phrase, either nitzim or nitzavim, appears multiple places in Chumash, and Chazal say it always refers to Dasan Vaviram. It always refers to Dasan Vaviram. How could that be? Didn't we just say that Dasan Vaviram died right now? So that's so here's where the Gemara says, no, it means they lost all their money, and a person who loses money is considered dead. Let's throw the Torah Tamima. That was quoting the Gemara in the Darim, and now the Torah Tamima is going to break it down for us. And he says like this. Hine lo matzinu, let's turn inside. Lo matzinu shemos ha'anashim shebikshu es nevesh Moshe. First of all, we never saw names of people who wanted to kill Moshe, who were going after Moshe, which is questionable because we saw Paro. Vegam sivas adaver lo nimtza zulas mashigiru leparo adaver akosu esamitri. And all that we know was that somebody ratted on Moshe that he had killed the Egyptian. Umivor boso inyan sheachar sheechad meila shayu nitzim ze imoshe. Zaimze, Umosha Amarle, Rasha Lamata Kereacha, who Hilshin Lufaro, Dabar Akasu Samitri. What do we know? We know that one of those people that Moshe breaks up from fighting must have been aware of the fact that Moshe had killed the Egyptian, and it must have been that he was the one that badmouthed Moshe to Paro about that Moshe had killed the Egyptian, because Moshe did it in secret, as the Torah said, Vayifen Cho Vacho. He looked this way now, which really meant that he thought that nobody saw, but really one of these fighters had seen, yeah? And that was the one that went ahead to Paro and told him what happened. Val Yidei Zeh, in the middle of the third line, Vikish Paro Lahargo, then Paro wanted to go and kill him because of this tattletale, this rat. Visham Mivur, Shainishaya Meiriv, Haya Rasha Kechaveiro. And now the second piece. We know that the second one who was fighting with the first one who ratted him out was also a Rasha. Because Mivur Shem Hayu Rishaim. Because they're both called Rishaim. Moshe calls him Rishaim. Ubakshu as Nefesh Moshe. And we know that they wanted to kill Moshe. Achein lo yadanu mihayu eila anashim. But we don't know who they are. The Torah doesn't tell us their names. V'darshinan midichsiv bahem bahu sham nitzim. Shnei anashim ivrim nitzim. But we see this word, nitzim, of standing up to one another, quarreling. We also have this very same word that appears by Yevgu as Moshe as Aaron nitzavim, that people when over here also in this week's parsha. People standing up to Moshe. People standing up to Moshe and Aaron. People in Pasuk Chaf and Perek Hey. When Moshe and Aaron, after at the very end of the parsha, Moshe and Aaron had gone to Paro to try to get him to free them. And what does Paro do? He tells them, no more straw. You have to make the same output of bricks, but I'm not giving you the raw materials. And then Klal Yisrael gets super angry at Moshe, and they stand up to Moshe and said, what are you doing? You claim you're coming to save us. In reality, you just made it more harsh for us. What's the word that's used for the people who stood up to Moshe? Nitzavim. The same type of lashon. And Chazal Darshan, who was it that stood up to Moshe? It was Dasan Vaaviram. Because this word, which is going to repeat itself over and over again, is always going to be, as Gemara Nedarim told us, in reference to Dasan Vaaviram. And also in Machlokas Korach, Yatzu Nitzavim Pesach Aleihem. Korach, when there was a great argument, a great rebellion against Moshe Rabbeinu, the word that's used there is Nitzavim. Guess what Chazal say? It was Dasan Vaaviram. And in Parshas Pinchas, the people that were Heitzu al Moshe v'al Aaron b'aras Korach. V'lamanu sasim min haforash da'anashim v'chsibu b'parshas unitzim nitzavim gam ken dasan v'aviram kevet shiyodim l'balei machlekes. Rule number one of how a medrash works: word correlation. That Chazal used similar words which appear in different places and we're able to learn out something in another place, right? What do we generally call this in Gemara? We call this a gzera shava, right? But in Agada and Medrash, it's also important that a word will cross-reference, will hyperlink us to a place that it's used elsewhere, which will give us deeper understanding of that other place that word is used. And therefore, Chazal see Nitzim and Nitzavim one time by Dasan Vaaviram, and they developed this principle that it's Dasan Vaaviram in general, that they were Bali Machlokas. They're always making trouble. They're always fighting. They're always quarreling. They're always going at it, either against leadership or with one another, argumentative, bitter, fighting type people. Valko Panim. But then we're left with what I like to call, what Jerry Seinfeld called, a huge matzo ball. I don't understand. The Torah says that these people died. Why in the world? Fine, so you have this nice linguistic correlation. That whenever you have Nitzim Nitzavim, you can say in general, Tassim Vaviram. But what about when the facts are so strongly stacked against you that it's too hard to say it? It's too hard to say it. They're dead. How can you tell me the Torah is talking about people who died and there are people that reappear time and time later again in the Chumash? Valko panim mevur she'ila anashim lo meisu ata. But it's clear they didn't die. Sharei chayu beis machlokes Korach. They appear in Korach. They appear in Pinchas. They appear by the Mon. Imke maze she'amar ki meisu. Why would the Torah go ahead and tell us that they died? Al kein tzarech lomar demuv an achar lashon ki meisu umefar shiyardu minichseyem. Okay, so let's do another acrobatic. They didn't actually die. They experienced something which is akin to death. They lost all their money. Va'aniyus chashuva kemisa. V'kevan da'aniyim hem einam yicholim lios od krovim l'malchus. Ve'inam yicholim lahara od umefarshe kimesu kimo kimesu ukimo shomer kimo mesu vaynu shigia lem onesh mis onesh kimo misa dainu anias. So says this Torah to Mima. Well, there's a few other details which help build the case a little bit more. Number one, the fact that they became impoverished would then prevent them from having the ability to harm Moshe. Because what was the way that they would be able to kill Moshe? Because as we saw, these people had an in with Paro. they were able to, that's not a simple thing. They were able to get him information, right? Maybe what we would call them, anybody go to Poland? Anybody go to Poland? Right? And during the Holocaust, there were people called the Judenrat is the word I'm looking for. What were the Judenrat? The Judenrat were Jews that the Nazis gave special positions of power to, but only for the sake of what? Ratting out and snitching on their other Jews. And they had this terrible, terrible moral tension, conflict. We could save ourselves, but in doing so, we're going to have to rat out other Jews. It seems like doesn't, and they were obviously not very liked by other Jews in camps and ghettos, etc., right? Because they, anyway, doesn't appear very, very similar type of situation. They had the ear of Paro. They were able to say, hey, this guy killed an Egyptian. It must be that they had power. It must be they had some influence. It must be that they had some sort of ability and some sort of chashivas, importance, which gave them the ability to communicate directly with Paro. But what if they lose their money? If you got no money, you got no power. You got no significance. If they lose that whatever is putting them on this pedestal, they'll no longer have the in with Paro. Meaning, becoming impoverished causes them to lose their in with Paro, and then they won't be able to, through Paro, harm Moshe. So they're becoming impoverished. What? Means that this ability of killing Moshe has melted away. It's basically died. And becoming impoverished, Chazal teach us, is akin to death. And also, another critical point, says the Torah to Mima, when the Torah says, Bayo, look at the pasuk again on the top. V'yomer Hashem Moshe b'Midyan lech shuv Mitzrayim ki mesu kol ha'anashim. The Torah to Mima says ki mesu could be also read as ki mesu. It's as if they died. Meaning, the Torah said could have said mesu kol ha'anashim or shem mesu kol ha'anashim. Ki mesu, and there's precedent to this type of interpretation. Kimesu could be read like Kimesu. It's as if they died. Meaning they didn't actually have a full death. Anybody familiar with the movie Princess Bride? It was a half death. Right? Not totally dead, right? Kind of dead. Was kind of dead. So Chazal have a principle of what kind of dead is. Kind of dead is becoming impoverished. Kimesu is like Kimesu, and therefore, that's a fourth key which the Torah to Mima was giving to us, which allows us to see that it wasn't necessarily complete death. Yeah. Can we hold on to the question? Let's just finish Torah to Mima. Vavshar Lomar, O Tam, Ma Shero Chazal, Lotzi Amilos, Kimesu Mitratan. But let's say one more point, which would drive Chazal to again, right? There's a principle. Ein Mikra Yotzeh and Shuto. A pasuk always goes by its basic meaning. We don't just arbitrarily take a pasuk out of its basic meaning. So let's see one more reason that would drive Chazal to take these words out of their basic meaning. Mishum, this is beautiful. The kasha lohu halashon hamivakshim v'hoveh. We already said earlier that it's lashon rabin, that it's multiple wanted to kill him. The Torah to Mima has another beautiful diuk. All of the people that want to kill you in the present have died. What? I don't understand. If they're dead, they can't want to kill you. They're buried. They're under the ground. How can the Torah say the people that want to in the present, still, currently, right now, want to kill you, have died? It should have said that wanted to kill you. Sheb Bakshu, that wanted to kill you, they have died. This is the linchpin. This is the cherry on top. The Torah says they're still functioning in the present. If they're still functioning in the present, it must mean that they're not completely dead. Vima Perush Mesu Mamish, If you wanted to tell me that they died already for real, it should have said the people that wanted to kill you. Bavar, past tense. V'lashon mevakshim, mashash orayim mevakshim. They still want to kill you. Hurry to chayimim, but they're meaning they're alive. And therefore, if they're still alive, it must be that they're not dead. So how can they still be alive? How can they still be alive when the Torah says they're dead? Ah, there's an experience that's like death, but isn't actually death. Like becoming impoverished. And that's becoming, and that's ani chashuv kameis. So five things the Torah Tamima just unpacked for us, which allowed us to see how Chazal came to this drasha. If we say them quickly again, number one, nitzim mitzavim is something that's said by Dasan Ba'aviram throughout all of Chumash. Number two, what do we say? That Brian, they're still around. Help me out. Right, we said Kimesu, right? Kimesu, it's as if they died. We said the last one, Mevakshim, the biggest one, I think, is Lashon Hove. We said that they must have gone from a position of power to a position of being out of power. That's becoming impoverished, losing the ear of Paro. Okay, we said a few gibaldic points. That Torah Tamim explained to us how Chazal came to this conclusion, which seems to go against the pshat of Chumash, like we saw from the Ibn Ezra and the Rashbam. The Chizkuni is going to just answer one more question. We said that there's a few different things that make an ani chashuv kameis. Excuse me. There's a few different things that make a person chashuv kameis. We said saras. We said doesn't have children. We said impoverished. And we said blind. The Chizkuni asked the question, why Dafka impoverished? What?
I'm wondering that this entire time.
Ah, so the Chizkuni said, why Dafka that one? Says the Chizkuni, we'll take it after, I'm sorry. Klomar sumim hayu, ein lomar, could it be they were blind? Sharei kasim parashas karecha, ein en ashim em tinakir. These same people, the Torah refers to them, that they're about with their eyes. Meaning they couldn't be blind. Because their eyes are referred to specifically later on in Parshas Korach. What about being childless? Also can't be said. Why? Because again, over there in Parshas Korach, the Torah refers to their wives and their children. Can't be they didn't have children. What about Saras? Also can't be, because a person who has Saras is kicked out of the Machane Yisrael. They have to go into Golus. And we know that what? They were inside the Machane, also over there in Parshas Korach. Therefore, all the fourth ones that's left is ani, and that's a chazal darshan ani chashuv kameis. Yes, Gabi first.
Oh, I buzzer beater kind of rejected what I was going to say, but Taraz, they went and ratted on Moshe to Paro. That would be
so. Maybe right. Okay, interesting. So, but only a kohen can make something become Taraz. Without that, it can't, right? Over there in Parshat Tazria, only when a Kohen declares it is Saras, that then becomes Saras. Okay, but interesting. No, interesting.
He rejected me then.
Right.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Yeah.
I'm not really sure what the process was back then, but if they had Saras, does it make sense to say that they would have retracted Saras and then it wouldn't have resolved by the time we get to Parshat Torah?
Yeah, I was wondering the exact same thing myself.
A long time.
Maybe without a mishkan and without being able to give a korban, you can't get the proper. They wouldn't have been able to get the proper kapara, the proper purification process.
They already have the concept of kahuna barbarian.
Why?
Huh? Because Rav Miriam had Tzaraas, and she came back.
They had Tzaraas, that's after Tzardi Mishkan, yeah.
Moshe had his Tzaraas, and then she took him away miraculously.
What, a district partial with the arm? But that's actually Tzaraas. That's just like a make-believe, you know, just like I'm going to make your arm look like Tzaraas.
So then, do we have even a din of concept of Tzaraas back then?
Before the Torah is given? I would say not necessarily.
Which is maybe that's why they didn't.
Also, yeah. Anyway, that's just fascinating. Comment to the Chizkuni. I think that the Tzaraas one, right, does require a little investigation, but it could have been the other three, therefore, it was poverty. We'll finish, because it's late. We'll finish just one last diuk from the Sefer Osnayim LaTorah of Rav Zalman Sarotskin, just in the bottom left. Oh, sorry. Let's just learn quickly from the Netziv. Two more points. The Netziv, right? The Netziv, what? The middle of the page. Emek Dover. Emek Dover is the parish of the Netziv. And I'll tell you to you in Berlin, the Rashiva Velazhin, then Emek Dover and Chumash. Right? There's one point that I think the Netziv is going to address, which is, okay, these are all very nice. These are all very nice. We said a bunch of points, and maybe we'll say one more. But I'm still a little bit swayed. I'm still a little bit convinced by the Rashbam and the Ibn Ezra because of the words of Chumash. Paro's mevakesh to kill him. The person that was mevakesh to kill you has died. That's like a big hump to get over. To go ahead and make, even as beautiful as all the Torah Tamimah's explanations were, and the beautiful mahalik, the approach that he's developing for us is a great way of understanding Chazal. But what about the pshat? Paro was mevakesh. It's the same word again, right? It's the same word again. By yevakesh laharog es Moshe. By yishma paro zadavar hazeh. Paro heard the thing. By yevakesh laharog es Moshe. And what is right? We said it's okay. That's going to be good. And kimesu kol anashim amevakshim esnapshecha, right? So what? That's a pretty big hump to get over. Says the Netziv. Velo amar kimes also paro sheradav acharav. The people that wanted to kill you, they're dead. But it's not referring to Paro, who was the one who was chasing after him. Ki be'emes lo yarem paro klal. Moshe was never scared of Paro. Gam beloze who shaluach Moshe ilav. I think it says Kasha. I think it's supposed to be Moshe. Even without this, even without Moshe would have gone back to Paro. V'harei muftach mipi Hashem ki ek ya'ima. Moshe was already guaranteed at the burning bush, you have nothing to be scared of Paro. I will be with you when you stand up against him. Meaning, that whole fear that made Moshe run from Paro, even if Paro exists, even if Paro is the strong king of Egypt, his death or life is completely insignificant to Moshe. Because God has assured him with absolute certainty, you have nothing to be scared of. I will be with you. I'll protect you. I will speak through you. I will give you miracles and wonders. I will create plagues and amazing things that will allow you to overpower Paro. You have nothing to be scared of. The Netziv is adding another critical point. It couldn't be Paro, because there'd be no reason for Moshe to be scared of Paro. That wouldn't be something that would be holding him back from going back to Egypt. Aval me'anshe Yisrael, you know who he should be scared of? This is such a big point in life, right? You should be scared of Jews. You should be scared of fellow Jews that may want to get you in the back. That may want to backstab you. That may want to take revenge. That may want to usurp your power. That may want to not believe you, not trust you. Me'anshe Yisrael she wrote fate yorim ma'ot kwa shkasav le'el. She Yisrael lo ha'isa avtacha me'ashem shia imo la'anish kol mishiv kabol l'rab. Chalila, Mishumach Yodilo Hashem Kimesu Kol Anashim Shekivim Bichur Ayisrael. The real people that wanted to kill you, That's fellow Jews. They're the ones that maybe you'd be scared of. They're dead. You don't have anything to be worried about anymore. Dasan Ma'aviram, the ones that ratted on you, the ones that you really have a reason potentially to be scared of, because I'm not promising you that I'm going to protect you from Jews. I'll promise you that I'll protect you from Paro. Protect you from Jews? No. But they're dead. The ones I wanted to kill you before, they're dead. I got their, I took care of them. Now you can go back. Another tremendous Hosefa from the Netziv, why Chazal would say that it's Dasan Ma'aviram and not Paro. And one very, very last thing, just these beautiful words of Rav Zalman Sarovskin, and that was lying the Torah, the last one on the bottom left, the bottom middle you'll do on your own homework, says Rav Zalman Sarovskin, I love the way he says this, because this is, he says the words that we're feeling from the very beginning. Mikavan Chedasan Ma'aviram lo mesu mamish. If they didn't actually die, Ella Ha'anu, they became impoverished. Lama Hotzi Misha Chosamo Emes Mipiv Davar She'efshel Lefarsho She'lal Pi Derech Emes. How could the one whose signature is truth, meaning God, why would he say something that's a lie? They died. But they didn't die. They just became poor. Why would God write in his Torah something that could be easily construed for falsity, for a lie? When Chazal said, tell us they didn't die. Why would God tell us that they died? God doesn't lie. God doesn't play tricks. God doesn't not tell the truth. Right? Why would the Torah do it like this? Says Rav Zalman Sarovskin, Ve'eshlomar, Sheyesh b'chlal zeh, Gam krovei v'geulei hadam shel hanogesh. Shaharag Moshe, v'hem meisu mamish, v'gam dasan ba'avira meisu b'tor malshinim, l'fikach nemar ki meisu kol anashim v'vakshim es nafshecha, v'haynu mehem mamish, u'mehem b'tor shemavakshim es nafshecha. The Rashi says in Zalman Sarovskin, multiple people died. There was the people that were the Goali Hadam, the ones, the family members of the guy that he killed. The ones that really wanted to kill Moshe because they killed their dad, they killed their brother, they killed their son, whoever he was. Those people, they actually died. Also, Dasan Ba'aviram became poor. Says Zalman Sarovskin that the Torah wasn't lying when it said the people that wanted to kill you died. There actually were people that wanted to kill him that actually did die. And in addition, or as part of the group, was Dasan Ba'aviram who became impoverished. The Torah didn't lie. Some people actually that wanted to kill him did die. And in addition, Dasan Ba'aviram became impoverished, which is like dying. Which now the pasuk is beautiful. Okay. Adkan? A beautiful mahalik. What?